Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We have a really great guest today, Jim Serger, and he has written a book titled Jump. And it's the 40th anniversary of attending the 1984 Van Halen concert. So we are going to mix music and business. The guy is a fascinating guy. We're going to talk about how you create this experience that makes you want to come back again and again. So with that in mind, before we get into the interview, one quick announcement, and that is, if you've got an amazing story or a question, please reach out to me on any social channel. I'll be there. If it is a question, use the hashtag AskShep. I'll answer the question there on this show in my newsletter, The Shepherd Letter, or on my TV show, Be Amazing or Go Home, which can be found on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Roku, and you can catch episodes by simply going to beamazing.tv. That is beamazing.tv. All right, let's talk with Jim Serger. Are you ready for an amazing interview? Here it comes. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shep. I appreciate you having me on today.
Yes, well, sir. I'm excited. I did not realize, and I can't remember how many years ago it was that we first started connecting, but it's probably been at least four or five. Yes?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And I said, oh, great. And then we're talking today. I said, you've written three books. And by the way, your most recent book, Jump, which it has to do with your 1984, it's been 40 years since you attended a concert, Van Halen. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to tie it to business, customer service, and experience, which you and I have talked about before, which I'm excited about. But I said, oh, so you've written three books, and now I'm looking at it. No, you've written seven books. So let's talk briefly about your career, and then we'll jump into, well, no pun intended.
Jump. Yes, sir. So, you know, I graduated from the University of Cincinnati, and then I was in the Navy after that. I was stationed in Yokosuka, Japan, over in Tokyo, just south of Tokyo. I served 4 years from there. And then I came back to the United States, and I started with a major ice company here in the Cincinnati area that is now, today, the largest privately owned ice company in the United States. They go from New York to Florida all the way to Oklahoma. And then after 19 years with them, I became the operations manager at the Indianapolis airport for 7 years.
So, oh, I'll bet you've heard a lot of complaints from passengers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the ideal situation was hearing from my dad as a little boy. I became a bottle boy when I was 14 years old at the local convenience store, wiping down gas pumps, interacting with the folks, talking to everybody. Because my dad said, you got to start somewhere. And I did. It's a convenience store. And I loved it. And all my buddies worked there. We were surrounded by 1,000 homes, largest neighborhood at the time in the state of Indiana. And I just interacted with people. And I just loved it. And I've loved the experience of sharing, talking, analyzing, trying to figure out a problem, both positive or negative, with people my whole life. So, and then I started writing books.
I know your story about reading books, but you met Pat Williams from the Orlando Magic, and you read his book, and was that before you started writing?
Yes, sir. So I was a very prolific non-reader. I did everything in my book of arsenal to not read. I was the big athlete, go to the gym, go for a run, you know, hang out, watch movies. And then I met him, and he said, 15 minutes will change your life. And I said, is he talking to me? And he said, if you read 15 minutes a day, every day, that equates to roughly 91 hours that will you have read in 1 year. And I said, I think he's talking to me. And I won his book. I finished my first book up of his in 30 days. And then it became another book. And then it became another book. Then I was reading 100 books. Then I was reading about 120. And then I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to write a book. And she said, go for it. And then I wrote the book, and a publishing company down in South Carolina picked it up. And then I wrote another one. Then I wrote another one. And I kept reading. And then I wrote a poem. And then my poem was published in Success Magazine. I was one for one. And I told my daughter, we're out.
Okay. You had 100%. batting average.
So I do this for a lot of reasons, is to get outside of my comfort zone, to bring ideas. I love telling stories. I love interacting with people all the time. And everybody has a story in them. You know, once you put it on paper and you start to build it, it comes to life. And I love the process of creating a book. I love the whole thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I have a similar background. My first job, I was 8 years old. I went to work for my grandpa, and I just cleaned his pharmacy. He had a pharmacy in the city of St. Louis, North Side, which is really an interesting place for, if you know anything about St. Louis, for me and my grandpa to go there. I went there 3 days a week, and I had so much fun. I wiped down shelves. I counted bottles and all the inventory of the greeting cards. But then at age, I'm going to say 13 or 14, I worked in a convenience store. It was a gas station, but perfect. I actually pumped the gas. We were full service because there was no self-service back then, similar right. to probably your situation. And I reset the pumps manually. I had a little changer, and I made change on the lot. And I worked there, and I did that and a couple other jobs. But when I was in college, I went back to work for the company. And we were by then convenience store. We had lots of items to sell because that became very popular. So you and I have some similar background. Although you got out of it in high school, I was still stuck in it when I was in college. But when I graduated college, they said, go to work for us full time. And I did. And in September, so this is in the end of May, early June. June 1st was officially full time. I'm now a real person out of college. And in September, we're selling the company. See you later. And that's when I started my business. So it all worked out.
What a great
out.
Story. Absolutely. All yeah. worked out. Right.
Yeah.
So keep going.
So let's talk about this most recent book. It's called Jump. And it's the 40th anniversary of attending the 1984 Van Halen concert in Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
The yep. Cincinnati and, and I read through this, and you know, as you know, I'm a bit of a music fan, so I just had a lot of fun. Let's talk about how Van Halen has managed, and obviously Eddie Van Halen passed away in the last year to 2 years, I'm thinking.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And which was really sad. One of the great innovators of music and such an incredible talent, and the band members that he had as well, and some of the members who went on to have incredible solo careers. Anyway, I digress. There's a reason his brand stayed strong for more than 40 years, because you happen to see him when he was already around. But, you know, how do you do that? So you obviously create the experience. So I'm going to turn it over to you to share some insight as to why you think that is.
Absolutely. So in December of 83, the song Jump was released over the airwaves. And then January 2nd, MTV released it, and there was a video. And I was at the right age of 12, where I was too young to understand the past of Van Halen, but right in the moment when they took off with this hit Jump, and MTV reeled us in. And I told my parents that we have got to see Van Halen, all my seventh grade buddies, we have got to be there. Because time after time after time, we were putting in the VHS tape to try to hit record when Van Halen was on MTV. And our parents allowed us to go to the concert, and we were in the 10th row. So wow. Not having been to a concert before, only seeing them on MTV in a clip, they have tons and tons and tons of energy. It is nonstop.
Oh, I
and
know.
The song was a big hit. So the song went to number one on Billboard Hot 100 on February 25th. And then now, about 9 days after that, on March 9th, we get to see Van Halen in person.
And how big was the venue?
11,000. They played for two nights in Cincinnati. They actually were only going to play for one night, but it sold out so fast that they put a second night in. And so at the time, Cincinnati Gardens was about the fourth or fifth largest indoor arena in the United States when it was first built. And we were there, and then we were just completely mesmerized. It went by so fast, so quickly. All of our eyes hurt. All of our ears hurt. I mean, we were nonstop looking, watching, hands in the air, clapping, high-fiving. I mean, these gentlemen were up there blowing us away, literally, jumping up and down, jumping off the drums, giving unbelievable guitar and bass and drum solos. They set the gong on fire. They had a high wire act, and it was just nonstop. And we were bought in hook, line, and sinker. And that's when we walked out a different person, because it's different than seeing it, like I said, through your ears. Now you're visually seeing it for the first time.
So they created an experience that moved you. And here's what I want to emphasize. You walked out different. How many times can a brand do something for a... I'm thinking about, what are the items that I bought in my life or the businesses that I've done where I walk away going, you've changed my life, okay? I'm going to tell you one of them. It's a real simple one. Are you familiar with Thin Optics? Okay.
No, sir, I'm not.
Thin Optics, it's a really tiny little pair of glasses that are so skinny that they slide into a case that maybe they fit in your credit card case in your wallet, but you can actually, where there's a little case and you adhere it to the back of your cell phone and slide it in. It's thinner than a credit card. And you pull them out and you put them on your eyes when you're in a dark room and you can't read the menu. And my eyes were starting to go just a little bit for reading, just for reading. And I got this, and somebody gave them to me as a gift, actually a musician, former professional musician, said, and he wrote on here, this will change your life. And I thought, oh yeah, right. And I put them on. Oh my God. Not that I could see. It's like, now I'm everywhere I go, I just slide them out of my back of my cell phone case. Boom, they're on. And it changed my life. And there's different, I mean, obviously you drive a car when you're 16, it changes your life when you get a car. Does it really change your life when you go from one model of a car to another model of a car? Maybe if you're in a midlife crisis. But what experiences do you have, do you think about, that changed your life like Van Halen changed you? And what brands have done that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been in customer service firsthand for many years. And I think about that Van Halen concert. Let's just say, for instance, that we saw all this stuff on TV and we hear it through the airwaves. And then they come out and they all sit on bar stools. They don't interact. They don't say hi. They don't do anything extravagant.
It sounds the same, right? It sounds the same, right?
Correct. And all of a sudden they say, thank you, Cincinnati. Goodbye. I don't think they would have reeled us in.
I so much relate to that because I have recently seen the Eagles. I've seen Eric Clapton. I saw Bob Dylan and I saw Ringo all in 1 month. Ringo Starr, a Beatle, okay?
Right,
just
right.
In the last, I'm going to say it was maybe 2 or 3 months ago. When we come back from our break, I want to tell you what the difference and how things changed my experience and my thought of them. And then I think we'll be relating to that because it's the same thing as your Van Halen experience. So everybody, don't go away. We are talking with Jim Serger, who is the author of Jump. And go to Amazon, go to Target.com, Walmart.com, go to Anywhere.com that sells books. And you are going to find this book, Jump, the 40th anniversary of attending the 1984 Van Halen concert. Jim Serger, S-E-R-G-E-R. We're taking a short break. Don't go away. We will be right back.
One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time. And that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position and responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We are back on Amazing Business Radio. We are talking with Jim Serger, the author of Jump, 40th anniversary of attending the 1984 Van Halen concert. Now, I just finished before the break telling you about the four legends that I saw in concert. So let's start with Bob Dylan, who sat on the bench and played whatever he wanted to play without any regard for the audience. It was about his last album, but really he didn't play one hit song. And he hardly, did he even talk to the audience? Don't remember, but here's the deal. I got to see the legend. Now I don't need to see the legend again. Eric Clapton, one of my very, very favorites, so freaking talented. And he does look out at the audience and he says, thank you. But when he looks back at the band, he actually talks to them about four times more than he talks to the audience, because he says, one, two, three, four. So that's four words. I guess thank you is two words, so twice right. as much. But you can tell he's bringing it. He is bringing it, okay? And then who else did I see? Oh, the Eagles. Now, that was an entertaining concert. And they are so good at what they do. And by the way, they said, you know, we could talk a lot, but they were right up front. But you want to hear our music. And we brought the best musicians in the world together to play the music exactly the way you know it. And hit after hit after hit. So I'll tell you, I can't wait to go back to an Eagles concert. That said, what was the experience? It was the music. Same thing with Clive. But then we get to Ringo Starr and his all-star band. And that guy, at his age, comes down, talks to the audience. You feel totally connected with him. Similar to you may have with, and he brings these incredible musicians. It's Ringo and his all-star band. And I got to tell you, the guy that played, Edgar Winter. Oh my gosh. He brought it, man. He talked to the audience. He was more fun. And they were all amazing. So the point is, the experience is what rocks it. And Van Halen rocked it for you. Let's jump away from music. What brands rock it for you and why?
I think the biggest one is for me is Delta Airlines. I love Delta Airlines. The first time I ever
They love flew, you saying that too.
I know. The first time I ever flew from Cincinnati was back in 1989 when I graduated from high school. And I flew from Cincinnati to Los Angeles. And I remember getting dressed, and it was very clear by my mom and dad, you will wear a sport coat. So me and my other buddy were going
I remember out there. Those days. My mom and dad made me dress up to get on an airplane. Right.
Well, I didn't understand it. I just didn't get it. I thought, how am I going to be comfortable? Well, when we were in the queue to get onto the aircraft, my buddy Billy and I were in our sport coat, and we fit right in. It was very glamorous feeling. I felt important. I felt like people were watching out for me. They were interacting with me.
Boom. And that's the way watching it's always been. For me. That watching out for me. How many Correct. Companies watch out for their customers? I love that. Keep going.
Correct. So the other one is I really, really, really enjoy Joseph Beth bookstore here. It's a very independent bookstore, but they make you feel a part of the realm as an author. They make you feel special, no matter how small I am or now how inconvenient or how do I say it, tiny I am in the speck of the world. They make me feel like Ernest Hemingway is walking in. It really is a neat feeling. It's a temporary feeling, but they do that not just for me, but they do that for everybody. And it's a special feeling. It's a gift that they're giving me, and I'm reciprocating that back to them. And it's just a nice, tight bond that we have for maybe a half hour, 45 minutes when you're there for an author event. But it's neat. It's the same thing. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So let's get back to Delta. Have you flown on them lately?
I have not. I have not flown on them quite a while. The last time I flew on Delta was out of Indianapolis. I flew from there to Charles de Gaulle. It was a direct flight from Indianapolis over to France, and it was unbelievable. The best part about it, Shep, is anytime in the flight, you can walk in the back, and they have all the snacks for you. And there's all the flight attendants there. How are you? Can I get you anything? And it was like that all the time on the flight, interacting. Talking, you need a pillow, you need a blanket, how are you, do you need anything else, are those headphones broken, do you
yeah I love that. You know, I fly American Airlines, and you know what, we just did a study, we do a study every year, and one of the questions I asked this year that I hadn't asked before is, should loyal customers be treated differently? Now here's what's cool. American Airlines has a list of every passenger on that plane, and they're looking for who is a loyal customer, and they're walking over to them. Sometimes the flight attendants are a little bit more obvious about it than others, but they're thanking their passengers, making them feel good. I'm a huge fan of American. No airline is perfect. My brother is one of the highest flyers on Delta. I'm a high flyer on American Airlines with, you know, loyalty and perks and our status. And even with all that loyalty, when the plane goes down for a maintenance issue, not goes down like crashes,
right?
Down, you know, it doesn't get to, you know, there's a delay.
Right.
No, that was a poor choice of words, wasn't it?
That's okay. I knew what you were talking
about. Yeah, but I want to make sure the audience knows. A plane, by the way, I've never been on a plane that hasn't gone down, just so you know. They all eventually come down, and every one of them has been a safe landing. But no, when a plane isn't going to back out because of mechanical, it doesn't matter what status you are. That plane's not going to get fixed till it's fixed, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's, correct. It's,
yeah.
You are correct.
And I think that people, the other day I had a 4 to 5 hour delay. And my wife was with me. I had back surgery. By the way, clients don't even know. I walk in, how you doing? Nice to see you. I'm up on stage. But if I were to drop something, I'm not allowed to still bend over and pick it up for like another, I don't know, 2 months. But other than that, I can walk for miles. And so right. My wife travels with me because I can't lift up anything over 5 or so pounds. So she's carrying my bags, putting them in the overhead, taking care of business for me. So we have fun. That flight was delayed. And my wife looks at me and she goes, you know, we flew in the day before. We're leaving the next day after my speech. How do you do this? I'm exhausted. And now we have a delay. I go, this is life. Welcome to my world. And you know what?
Right.
Here's the thing about the delay because of the mechanical issue. I would rather find out that the problem was here on the ground than when we're up in the air and they find out there's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's not a good time to find out about the problem.
Right.
Fix the plane before I get up there. I'll be frustrated, but then I get reality, you know, setting in. You know, we talk about experiences and we're talking about brands. I want to share with you. I do magic. I mean, we talked about music. I love music. I play music. A lot of people don't know. I also do magic shows and incorporate a little tiny bit of that sometimes in my speech. Two performers come to mind, and that is David Copperfield and Penn and Teller, which are actually three performers. Penn and Teller is the show. When you and Copperfield, not so much today. He's such a megastar. You know, he's one of the wealthiest entertainers of all time. His earnings, they haven't eclipsed Oprah, but they're real close. But here's the difference with David Copperfield. He does not have an album where he gets royalties. 100% of his money is made when he performs, and he loves to perform. In the early days of his performing, at the end of the show, before he did his last final illusion, he would say, hey, everybody, the show's going to be over in a few minutes, and if you want to wait, I'm going to come out to the lobby, and I'll sign autographs and take pictures until the last person leaves. And Penn and Teller did the same thing, and they still do it in their show now. They're really wonderful people. How do you think Copperfield became the household word in magic shows? He didn't do it just because he was a great performer. He connected with the audience, and he found that was a way to bring the audience closer to him. Brands, while they're not necessarily celebrities, need to think like David Copperfield and Penn and Teller and bring those fans even closer. And that's what Van Halen did for you.
Absolutely, Shep. I mean, after the concert was over with, we had our tour books and Van Halen signed all of our
tour books. He really? Oh, my God.
We got them all. We show the pictures in the book. Every single classmate of mine got a signed tour book. And our friend's dad was a cop backstage with Van Halen, and they loved it. They signed everything, gave them guitar picks, hats, stickers, you name it. And then it just elevated us up even higher because we weren't expecting that. And we walked out with ticket stubs. I mean, the memorabilia, and we bought into it. When we all got home on that Friday night, we didn't have any cell phones or anything like that. But Monday back at the Catholic schools, when we were getting ready for high noon mass to be the altar boys, me and my buddies could not stop laughing about how much stuff we were going to spend this week up at Kmart. We were going to walk up to Kmart and buy a Van Halen album. Another buddy joined the Van Halen fan club. And then it just snowballed from there. The next one. Yes, David Lee Roth went a separate way. but we still enjoyed Van Halen. And then we bought in the David Lee Roth solo act.
Yeah, David Lee Roth, amazing. Still touring right now, mostly, you know, smaller venues, but he's still doing, I mean, he will occasionally do something big, but he likes to perform. So we're running out of time, and I just want to kind of make a call to action. Beyond buying your book, which is a great call to action, again, Jump, 40th anniversary, attending the 1984 Van Halen concert. Last time I'll pitch that again. But here's my call to action to everybody listening. I want you to think about what you and I are talking about, Jim. And I want the audience to listen to this and think, in my company, what is the, let's call it the Van Halen principle, the David Copperfield principle, the Penn and Teller principle, which is to bring fans close to them. Put on a show that gets them excited. That's the product that works. But what are we doing to create that connection? Think about that. Are we reaching out to our customers if we're in a B2B world and just checking in? Are we doing things that allow customers to come to us and love our brand and create an emotional connection? That's it. At the top of the pyramid of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's self-actualization. Well, when it comes to the customer hierarchy needs, it is some type of emotional connection. It's loyalty. It's and that only happens when you do basically what Van Halen has done. So wrapping this all up, I'm going to ask you one final question. Is there one nugget of wisdom that you can share with us related to customer service or experience that comes from that Van Halen book? I love the book.
Yes, sir. So one is to get them to come back, because in the year 84, the Terminator was released and the line says, "I'll be back."
And what a coincidence that I wrote a book titled "I'll Be Back." And I did not realize
we came back.
Exactly. In 1984, I did not put it together. Oh, my gosh. What, you know, it was meant that we were talking today. So my version of "I'll Be Back" is a book, and how do we get customers to come back again and again? And your version of "I'll Be Back" is what Van Halen made you feel at the end of that concert.
Absolutely. And we went back again and again and again. One guy went to see Van Halen 17 times in concert.
Wow. What a Grateful Dead. I have friends that have seen the Grateful Dead or Dead and Company 75 plus times. One of them is like almost 150 times. And he's a true Dead. And it's David Meerman Scott. Okay. I've had him on the show. He's written a number of unbelievable books. But he says there's a reason why the Grateful Dead created such a fan base. And he actually wrote a book called Fanocracy, based on the experiences, partially, of what the Grateful Dead did to endear themselves to their fans and customers, if you will. And you know what? There's no reason why companies can't do the same type of thing. Think like a rock band. I think that's
exactly
what we're saying here. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for being on the show. This has been really amazing, and that's why we call it Amazing Business Radio. I appreciate you, and I appreciate all of your... By the way, I just want to say before we finish, thank you for your service. And the other thing, everybody, when you go to check out Jim Serger's book, Jump, I also want you to look at another book, your most recent book, which had to do with 9/11. Can you, in 30 seconds, tell us about that book? Because it is an emotional book. You reached out to me and asked me, what do I remember about that day? And I remember, and you asked me, would I send you the story? And as I sent you the story, I actually started to become emotional with a little bit, you know, I don't know, tear in my eye, if you will, because it was really that amazing of a thought. But tell us real quickly about that book, because that's a powerful book as well.
Yes, sir. 9/11. Everybody remembers what transpired for them personally on that day. And that's what I captured in the 9/11 book to help to out tunnel the towers. And you were a part of that. No one could describe the day before on September 10th, but minute by minute by minute, everybody remembers where they were, who, what loved ones were around them, what family checked in on them, from firemen to civilians to police, all across the United States. We were a unit of one, and that's what I captured in the 9/11 book.
Yeah, and I think part of it is when you look at your watch, and if it happens to be 9/11 and you say that, it's impossible not to think of that day.
Yes, sir. You nailed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
9/11.
So, Yeah, you are a special man, Jim Serger. Thank you so much again for your server for service for writing great books. And I love this book, Jump. And thanks for your insights and how we tie it all together with business and experience. I look forward to our next opportunity to hang out together.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on today. I love this talk. Customer service is where it's at. Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. All right, everybody. That wraps it up. Another interview on Amazing Business Radio. We will be back next week, and I promise you another great guest. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken, and I am reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.